This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ya amat Allah, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, we now move on to the next hadith, and subhanallah, we are very close to completing this book, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi, walhamdulillah. Our current study, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, tonight, hadith number 38, insha'Allah. We begin with hadith number 38. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله قال Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that Allah said, who narrates this hadith? Abu Huraira narrates that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said. Allah said, so this hadith is what? This hadith is a hadith Qudsi, similar to our previous hadith, walhamdulillah. What did Allah say? Man aada li waliyan, faqad aadhantuhu bilharb, wa ma taqarraba ilayya abdi bishay, ahabba ilayya mimma aftarad. Allah said, whoever has mutual animosity with a friend of mine, whoever harbors animosity with a wali of Allah, with a friend of Allah, then Allah declares war on such a person. My servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than the obligations, the fara'id, that which you draw closest to Allah. Number one, the fara'id. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and states, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبُصِّرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ رواه البخاري. My servant does not draw nearer to me except and by that which is most beloved to me, the obligations. And he continues drawing nearer and nearer to me via his supererogatory works, via the nawafil, via the voluntary deeds, the voluntary acts of worship, such that I love him. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his leg with which he walks. Were he to ask of me, I would surely give him, and were he to ask me for refuge, I will surely grant it to him. Rawahul Bukhari. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, a very beautiful hadith, and a hadith Qudsi, dealing with what topic? Dealing with the topic of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this being a wali of Allah some super fancy level that only few can attain? We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does it mean that this person has supernatural qualities? Does it mean that this is like some superman walking around? We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as Imam Al-Tufi, he said that this hadith is an asl when it comes to suluk, and it comes to treading the path of self-purification, purification of the heart, tazkiyatun nafs. This hadith is one of those super important ahadith in that chapter. We begin the explanation, number one, the takhrij of this hadith. This hadith has been reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam al-Bayhaqi and many others. We find that from this famous six books of ahadith, it is only Imam al-Bukhari who reports this hadith. In fact, some have criticized Imam al-Bukhari for recording this hadith due to the narrator Khalid ibn Mikhlad. But ala kulli hal, at the end of the day, this hadith is sahih, it is authentic. Number two, the narrator of this hadith, none other than Abu Huraira radiallahu an, and we discussed his biography when we went through hadith number 9, so there's no need to repeat. Number three, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, the general comments related to this hadith. This hadith describes, this narration, prophetic narration describes how one can become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how one can be a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the steps to be followed. We will learn in this hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us an insight into the results of becoming a wali of Allah. What do you get if you are a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What benefits are there for being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We find that Imam Ash-Shawkani, he has a complete book dedicated to explaining this hadith, plus minus 300 pages, subhanallah. Imam Ash-Shawkani, the great scholar of Yemen, has 300 pages explaining this hadith, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And as we said, Imam At-Tufi, he said that this hadith is an asl when it comes to the matters of suluk. As for the detailed explanation of this hadith, then number 4, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and so this is a hadith Qudsi, walhamdulillah. And we discuss the great detail related to the special qualities of a hadith Qudsi when we went through hadith number 24. What's the difference between the ordinary hadith that we are familiar with and a hadith Qudsi? What's the difference between hadith Qudsi and the noble Quran, for example? We discuss that in great detail, walhamdulillah. من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Whoever has animosity against one of my friends, then I declare war against such a person. Subhanallah. A wali, wali, this is, lack of better words, in English we would say a friend. For lack of better words, in English we would say, and we would translate wali as friend. But in reality, it is much wider in meaning than just friend. Wali or awliya or walaya, this means to love. It means to honor. It means to respect. So all of this included when we talk and when we say in English friend, it means love, it means honor, it means respect. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays down two criteria for one to be a wali of his. Where? In the noble Quran. You want to be a wali of Allah, you need to have two criteria. You need to fulfill two criteria, two conditions for you to be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in the noble Quran, Surah Yunus, verse number 62 and 63, Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Verily the awliya of Allah, they do not, la khawfun alayhim, they are not afraid, wa la hum yahzanun, nor are they in a state of sadness, they will not be saddened. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun, those who believe and those who have the quality of taqwa. Subhanallah. Somebody asks you, brother, who is a wali? Wali is somebody who believes, and wali is somebody who has taqwa. Who said so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the noble Quran. And so, if you believe, and if you have taqwa, then you are a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that alladhina amanu, those who believe. So this is the matter of the belief, the matter of the theory. And then the taqwa, the manifestation of this belief, the taqwa on your limbs. That as some of the scholars said, man kana mu'minan taqiyan, كَانَ لِلَّهِ وَلِيًّا. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, then this person is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take note, this matter of iman and taqwa in the heart. This is obviously something which, people cannot see. Others, they cannot see this. And thus, they cannot declare and they cannot state with certainty that so-and-so is a wali of Allah. They cannot say, they cannot gauge how pious a person is. They cannot look at your taqwa. They cannot, take a measurement of your iman. And thus, subhanallah, the matter of this, who is a true wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we judge people by the apparent, but stating that so-and-so is a wali, testifying that so-and-so is a wali, you need to know this man's iman and this person's taqwa. You need to know that they die upon al-Islam. Well, if you don't know about all of these matters, then you cannot with certainty state that so-and-so is a wali of Allah. We can say he is a wali, insha'Allah. Just like how we say so-and-so is a martyr, insha'Allah. We all know the famous hadith, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba fighting in battle. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about a certain individual, he is in the hellfire. Sahaba were shocked, they were perturbed. How come? One of them followed this man and eventually found that this individual was injured. And then what did he do? What did he do? He took his weapon and he took his own life, subhanAllah. Outwardly, this person was fighting the enemy. Outwardly, this person, one might say, is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality was far from that. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, also take note that the greatest of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are who? Are the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anbiya, the companions of the anbiya, the followers of the anbiya, the companions of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-zulumat. Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-zulumat ila al-nur. Walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum al-taghut yukhrijunahum من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. The devoted servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they receive what from Allah? Devoted servants, they receive protection and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu wali, Allah is the protecting friend of those who believe, and He removes them from darkness to the light. As for those والذين كفروا, those who disbelieve, who are their awliya? Their awliya are the taghut. Their awliya are the false deities, which take them from the light to the darkness. Ulaika ashabun nar, and they are the inhabitants of the hellfire, and they will abide therein forever. Subhanallah. Also take note, ya mashaykh, that when it comes to this topic, the topic of awliya and the topic of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do find that there are some misconceptions amongst some Muslims, that someone might say that the position of the wali is below the rusul but above the anbiya. The position of the wali, it is below the rusul, the rasuls, they are above the wali, but the wali is above the anbiya. This is unacceptable. You find that some would attribute to the wali qualities which only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that some would attribute this to the wali. Wali knows what I am thinking. Wali knows what I am doing. Wali can help me right now. Wali can do this and he can do that. Subhanallah. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of this? We find that some even consider fortune tellers and magicians and these soothsayers, some might find that, you know what, the man spoke and the man did something and the way he's dressing, you know, this is some sort of wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, these are only but misconceptions. You find that either this is due to the influence of the media or due to the influence of, other isms and schisms and religions, etc. So you found that, these people, obscure type of individuals, are given some sort of level of wilaya. So the monk or the guru, etc., etc. And then we equate this, with being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely not. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who believe and they have taqwa, those are the two criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set down in the noble Quran for wilaya. And brothers and sisters, important, subhanallah, that the greatest of the awliya are who? The messengers, the anbiya, the angels, the companions of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for, individuals, for example, as some have said, مَقَامُ النُّبُوَّةِ فِي بَرْزَخٍ فَوْقَ الرَّسُولِ دُونَ الْوَلِي, that the position of the wali, the position of the anbiya rather in the barzakh, this is above the rusul But it is below the wali. No, subhanAllah. No, brother. The anbiya, they are the best of the awliya. The rusul, the messengers, they are the best of the anbiya, subhanAllah. This hadith, brothers and sisters, is a warning to those who dislike, harbor enmity against the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply because, you know, these individuals, they try to do their best to implement and follow the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These awliya, they are trying their level best to implement and follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, somebody harbors enmity against them. Allahu musta'an. Also remember, brothers and sisters, that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not ma'asum. They are not free from error. I mean, subhanAllah, your father might be from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your teacher, your imam in the masjid, the one who is cleaning the street, he might be from amongst the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not some sort of, Star Trek, some sort of special category, some sort of X-Men type of categorization. No, subhanAllah. The closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of your iman, the strength of your iman, the strength of your taqwa, the greater a servant you are of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater you are with Allah as a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so at the end of the day, the awliya, they are not ma'asum, they are not free from error. The sahaba were from amongst the best of the awliya, and we know that they fell into sin, they fell into mistakes, they fell into errors, etc. And so nobody is ma'asum, after the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Then the hadith continues. So, whoever has animosity against the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. This is the result of opposing the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because they are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They obey Allah, and so you oppose them, you are at war with Allah. You are at war with Allah. You will be destroyed. That's the bottom line. You are at war with Allah, you will be destroyed, subhanallah. And so we learn from this that it is important to love the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important to love those who are in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important, and subhanallah, and Allah protects their honor. Allah protects their honor. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah defends those who believe. Surah Hajj, verse number 38. And we should also obviously take note that when we talk about being at odds with the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, there's various manifestations of this. If, for example, an individual, he prefers, the disbeliever over the believer in order to gain some sort of honor, prestige, or worldly benefit, then in reality, this person is not honoring the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That you give preference. You give preference to the believer over the disbeliever. Otherwise, you are not honoring that wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not honoring that believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, one should not sell out those who believe and do good deeds. One should not sell out those who believe and do good deeds. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Be unto the hypocrites the tidings. Give them the evil tidings. For them there is a painful doom. Those who choose the disbelievers for their friends instead of the believers, do they look for power at their hands? Are they looking for izzah and honor at their hands? Lo and behold, all power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Then the hadith continues. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه. And my servant, he continues to gain closeness to me, and the best of that by which he can gain closeness to me is by fulfilling that which I've obliged upon him. Allah made such and such an obligation upon you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it the most. Because Allah loves it, and thus Allah wants you to be involved in its performance. Now, this is the beginning of the description of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those devoted servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the devoted servants are those who work to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing those deeds which take them and make them closer to Him. So they don't just sit back or something. No, rather they do these deeds which will gain them the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first of them being the obligations. Doing that you have been ordered to do, and staying away from that which you have been prohibited from doing. And this shows us, subhanAllah, that those who might claim to Allah love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do not obey His commands, then in reality this is a lie. He says, I love Allah and this and that. He does not pray five times a day. He does not pay his zakah. He does not go for hajj even though he has enough. Then in reality this person is only lying. Where's the proof for that supposed love that you have, subhanAllah? We find Allah mentions in the noble Quran, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصُ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيَقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. That's surely the pure religion is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who choose protecting friends besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do they say? What's the excuse? They say, We worship these awliya. We are worshipping these awliya. They are worshipping them. Why are we worshipping them? We are worshipping them so that they might bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lo, Allah will judge between them concerning what that which they differ about. Lo, Allah guides not him who is a liar, the ingrate one. Allahu musta'an. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. They make claims. But the reality is far from that claim, subhanAllah. And so, Allah loves that you do good deeds, and the most beloved of good deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are what? Are the fara'id, the obligations. The obligations, they are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that this hadith here makes it clear that the most important deeds that a person can perform to take himself closer to Allah are the deeds that Allah Himself has made obligatory upon His servants. And Allah chose them. Why? Because Allah loves them the most. And so fulfilling these orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are beloved to Allah. Example, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah restrains a person from evil and lewdness. Allah obliged the salah upon you, and it will have an effect upon you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you might attain this matter of taqwa, fasting. Allah obliged us to fast. And this fast will give you what? Give you this taqwa. Zakah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Take this zakah from their wealth in order to purify them and sanctify them by that. The matter of zakah, purification for yourself. Your sujood, wasjud waqtarib, and make sujood and gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest you are to Allah when you are in the posture of sujood. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Allah loves the obligations. Somebody says, well, what's more important? You know what? I want to start practicing now, and I'm going to sit on the floor and start eating. And, he says that it is the sunnah to sit on the floor, so he wants to do that, etc. Say, brother, rather you begin with the five salawat. That's more important. Shaitan wants to keep you busy with the matters which are of a lesser importance. Rather you begin with that which is most beloved to Allah, the obligatory actions, the fara'id, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. The hadith continues where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, ولا يزال عبدي ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل. And my servant continues gaining closeness to me via his supererogatory acts, via the voluntary acts of worship, via the nawafil, hatta uhibba, until I love him. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, after the fara'id, which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are your voluntary acts of worship, voluntary deeds, be it your giving of charity, be it the smile to the face of the next person, be it, reading of the noble Qur'an, your nafil salah, your tahajjud salah, your nafil fast, whatever type of good, looking after your family, going for a walk with them, whatever it might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that you get closer to him via these voluntary acts. You become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing more than just the minimum. You do extra good and you avoid the disliked matters, you gain super closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, this hadith here shows us how to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, at the end of the day, the most important of matters. At the end of the day, when everything is said and done, how do I become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا, if Allah loves a slave, دَعَى جِبْرِيلَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا, Allah calls Jibreel and he announces, I love so and so. فَأَحِبَّهُ, and so you love him. فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلَ, and so Jibreel will love this person. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي فِي السَّمَاءِ, and then an announcement is made in the sky. فَيَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ, verily Allah loves so and so, and so love him. فَيُحِبُّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, and so the inhabitants of the skies, they love so and so. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and then acceptance is placed in the hearts of the people on earth with regards to such a person. Subhanallah. That's the most important thing at the end of the day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As somebody said, it's not so important that you love. Rather, the more important matter is that you are loved. You are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because claiming love is very easy. We all can claim love. But to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is something special, subhanallah. And remember, brothers and sisters, that voluntary acts, we are talking about any type of voluntary deed, be it ibadah, be it nafil ibadah, be it the smile to the face of your brother, be it assisting, providing bursaries, whatever it might be, providing food, digging wells, etc., whatever it might be, that you are in the service of man, you are in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you do it to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, if one ponders, one might find that there is a distinction between the voluntary acts and the obligatory acts. The obligatory acts, at the end of the day, you know, one might perform them, although they are most beloved to Allah, one might perform them, you know, just so that I am free from punishment, so that I will not be punished with regards to this matter. But the supererogatory deeds, the nafil acts, only the one who loves, he does it. The fara'id, everybody does. But the nawafil, only those who love, they will be the ones who will perform this. The one who performs the tahajjud, he is the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who reads and recites extra Qur'an, this person here, this is a manifestation of his love, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We find that famous dua of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Wallah, I ask you for your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. And the love of those that you love. Wa hubba amal alladhi yablughuni hubbak. And the love of that act which will gain for myself your love. Subhanallah. Look at how beautiful that dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As some scholars have stated, brothers and sisters, that the act of reciting from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so sad it would be that a day passes and you've not picked up the book of Allah and recited the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Then the hadith continues. And so he's performed his fara'id. And now he's performed his nawafil, and now Allah loves him. And now what? فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. And if I love him, then I will be the hearing that he hears. And وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And the sight that he sees with. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And the hand that he strikes with. And his foot with which he walks. What does this mean? How does Allah become a person's hearing, a person's seeing, etc.? Many interpretations of this. In fact, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani has listed about 7 of them in his Fathul Bari, and other scholars have listed even more than that. Some of the interpretations of this section of the hadith is that this person's entire being becomes busy with what is related to Allah. So this person will only listen to that which is pleasing to Allah. He will only touch that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the understanding of Imam al-Khattabi and al-Dawudi and others. Another interpretation, that the person's goal and purpose now, it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is this person's ultimate aim and objective. And so whatever this person does in his hearing, in his seeing, etc., etc., it revolves around that. It could also mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports his wali the same way as your limbs support you in fighting maybe against an enemy. So you use your hands and you use your eyes and you use your legs. And thus Allah is that support to the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like your limbs support you. That's an interpretation of some. Another interpretation is that Allah protects the person's hearing to the point that he only hears what is good and pleasing to Allah. And that's another interpretation. Another interpretation would be that it implies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns evil and lewdness away from this wali. Allah protects him. So this person doesn't see that which is wrong. He doesn't hear that which is wrong. He doesn't touch that which is impermissible. So that's another interpretation. So that these limbs are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These limbs are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some said, that this refers to this the essence of pure tawheed, that the complete meaning of la ilaha illallah, that the person devotes all of his love, his hope, fear, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And if the person's heart is completely filled with this tawheed, then there is no love or hatred left in his heart, save for the love of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and the hatred for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And when a person reaches this state, all of his actions will be in the servants and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, sin only arises when the person loves something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, or he hates something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And so this is bi-ithnillahi ta'ala the meaning of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his limbs and grants him tawfiq to use those limbs in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, this hadith does not mean any type of hulul or ittihad or unification with Allah or unification or anything like that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely, absolutely not. The khaliq is separate from the makhluq. We find that Ibn Hajar and Al-Tufi, when discussing this hadith here, they took a very strong stance against certain ignorant Sufis who use this hadith as their proof for fana fi Allah. that we have this unification with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you know, you have different maqamat and stages, spiritual exercises like the yogi and the monk and the guru, etc. And so similarly, many adopted practices like this, and they said that, you know, you become one with Allah, that the goal and the objective is for you to unite with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ittihad, unification. That you know, some would claim that now I'm united with Allah and I receive knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you have the ideas of pantheism and monism, etc. Absolutely nothing to do with the Quran and the Sunnah. Quran and the Sunnah are clear and explicit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is separate and distinct from his creation. The Khaliq and the Makhluq are completely separate. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This hadith also shows us how to purify our souls. That you have step one, which is the matter of the iman, the matter of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then number two, the fara'id and staying away from the muharramat. And level number three, doing the nawafil and staying away from the makruhat. We find that one of the scholars, he said, the greatest karama, the greatest miracle is luzum al-istiqama, is being firm on the straight path. Not that you're flying in the air and walking on water, etc. Absolutely not. Rather, that your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your being a dutiful, devout servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, link it up with the Quran and the Sunnah. Where are you with regards to the Quran and the Sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you are in conformity and agreement, walhamdulillah. If not, then there is a khalal and there is a problem. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Then the hadith continues. Wala in sa'alani la'u'tiyannah, wala in ista'adhani la'u'idhannah. That if he asks from me, then I will give him whatever he wants. And if he seeks refuge with me, then I will grant him that refuge. Subhanallah. That this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah answers his pleas. Allah answers his du'as. And one might say, well, what's the point now? I'm a wali of Allah. You know, why do I need to ask from Allah? Subhanallah. Allah gets angry when you do not ask from Him. And it is a sign of your neediness that you lower yourself and you beg and you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If insan did not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will create a creation that would ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to see that neediness from Allah. One of the qualities of Allah is that He's not in any need. Allah is not in any need of anything. And we are makhluq, we are khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa, we are in need. And so we lower ourselves in our dhul and in our humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the section of the hadith that the fact that we ask from Allah, it shows that there is no hulul or ittihad, there is no unification with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not rise in your spirituality until you meet up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you are one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No such thing. Absolutely no such thing. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and others were severe against certain individuals who came out with ideas like that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We also learn from this that no matter how great you are, no matter how pious you are always in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are always needy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the hadith continues, and I do not hesitate to do anything as I hesitate to take the soul of the believer, for he hates death as I hate to harm him. Subhanallah. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will taste death. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Verily the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will pass away and everybody else will also pass away. We will all pass away, subhanallah. Death is something that every one of us will taste. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, why do we not like death? Because, you know, it's uncomfortable, because of the sakrat, because of the difficulties, the sakrat of death, subhanallah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha states that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sakrat was very, very difficult upon him, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, And so that is a door that every one of us will have to pass through. No escape from it. Wherever you are, it will come to you. There's that story that Sulaiman alayhi salam, there was somebody seated in his majlis and somebody else is staring at this man. The man was afraid. He goes to Sulaiman and sought the assistance of Sulaiman to transport him to a distant land. He said, I'm afraid of this man, he's staring at me. Later on, Sulaiman alayhi salam meets up with the one who was staring and asked him, why were you staring at the man? What did he say? He says that I was instructed to take this man's life in a certain distant land. And I'm wondering and I'm thinking that he is here. In a few minutes from now, I'm supposed to take his life in that distant land. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And look at how things took place. And this man was afraid. He was taken to the distant land, moved off there as protection. And that's where his soul was taken. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatallah. When it's your time, then there's absolutely no avoiding. And if your time is not up, death will not come to you. How many an individual in an accident and the car a complete wreck and the person came out without any wounds, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Who's the one who controls all of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similar to when one is a wali of Allah and one makes dua, Allah answers his dua. We know the famous companion Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Somebody in a masjid of Kufa stood up and cast some aspersions against Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas made dua against this person, and the narrator states that this person reached old age and he was like a better word, he was like an idiot, and he's chasing the girls and the small girls on the street. Allahumma musta'an. The dua of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Why? Because this person was making false accusations against Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. What does the hesitation in this hadith mean? Some ulama said that it means that, this person's life will be taken, soul will be taken very, very slowly, very, very slowly and softly. Others said that, It's not in terms of like a hesitation, like, you know, I hesitated to do something. Rather, it's like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obviously decreed this matter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when each one is going to die. Some ulama said what this means is that if a person does certain acts, then there's that increase in his lifespan which is given to him. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, other fawaid from this hadith. Number one, that the fara'id are the most important, more important than your nafil or your sunnah. The status of the awliya, they have a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your animosity against them will earn you the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, more than displeasure, you will be at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from this hadith that no matter how great you are, no matter how pious you are, that you will always be in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from amongst the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As was said, this is not some sort of special category of people. Rather, you yourself, Sumayya Ahmed Ilyas, Ahmed who's working in the shop, and Sumayya who's the housewife, all of you could be awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you believe and you have high levels of taqwa. You have firm belief and you have high levels of taqwa, then you are from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, until we meet again, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us istiqama, to grant us steadfastness upon sirat al-mustaqim, that the shubuhat and the shahawat, the doubts of the doubters and the lust and the shahawat and the desires of those who put it before us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us, as is found in this hadith, that the sight and the touching and the walking and the speaking and all these limbs, they are in accordance with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the suffering of our fellow brothers and sisters around the globe, Aleppo, Mosul, and many other places around the globe, Allahumma musta'an, from Kashmir to Burma, Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, until we meet again, hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.